Resonance Rewind.
Be kind. Resonance Rewind.
Comments are still headed.
What else is on?
Yeah, let's see what else.
Coming to you now from the largest studio ever constructed, it's The Truman Show!
Yeah!
Good morning!
Good morning!
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
What if?
No scripts, no cue cards.
Morning, Spencer!
How's it going?
What if you were watched every moment of your life?
How many cameras you got there in that town?
5,000.
I believe Truman is the first child to have been legally adopted by a corporation.
That's correct.
Brilliant.
What if everyone you knew was pretending?
Hi, honey. Look what I got at the checkout. Dishwasher safe.
That's amazing.
What if your world was make-believe?
Cue the sun. While the world he inhabits is counterfeit.
I'm not allowed to talk to you.
That's how I look. Not your type.
There's nothing fake about Truman himself.
What if you didn't know it? Until now.
A lot of strange things have been happening.
Stand by ring cam.
Is he looking at us?
Does he think he knows?
I think I'm mixed up in something.
Something big.
Oh. We accept the reality with which we're presented.
Everybody's pretending, Truman. Get out of here. Come and find me.
Truman?
Truman!
Truman!
Anything happen?
No.
Mm-hmm.
You may find yourself in another part of the world.
Feels like the whole world revolves around me. Everybody seems to be in on it.
I'm going away for a while.
You may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful wife. You may ask yourself, how did I get here?
I'm not in on it, Truman, because the last thing that I would ever do is lie to you.
Fade up music. That's our hero shot.
He's gone.
Find him. Truman, where are you going?
You can do it.
How do we stop him?
Give me some lightning.
Is that the best you can do?
Cut transmission.
I like your pen. I was wondering that myself.
Jim Carrey. The Truman Show. Watch what happens.
Am I Truman?
$1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step. The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. An entire human life recorded on an intricate network of hidden cameras and broadcast live and unedited 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to an audience around the globe. Coming to you now from Sea Haven Island, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, in its 30th great year, it's The Truman Show!
if one looks at the IMDb strapline for The Truman Show, it's simply an insurance salesman discovers his whole life is actually a reality TV show. A quarter of a century later, The Truman Show still seems to echo, which is one of the reasons why we've talked about it, and we are talking about it on this week's episode of Resonance Rewind. And let's go straight away to somebody who may have an interesting view. In fact, undoubtedly will have an interesting view of the whole thing, of this Jim Carrey vehicle. Victoria Simmons, your thoughts, please.
Oh, I actually really love this movie. I watched it about 4 weeks ago, and I wanted to watch it. So obviously it's something that I remember and liked to want to watch it again.
In some ways, people have said it's a modern day equivalent of Plato's allegory, The Cave, because you have this situation whereby a reality is being created. And just as the dwellers in the cave see this flickering light on the other side, we get into this question of what is reality? Is reality just a TV show? I mean, I think it's interesting that for me, you can certainly replace the age of television and the whole power of television with social media, arguably to a similar effect, although there hasn't been, I think, an equivalent as yet of a Peter Weir directed movie based on social media as well from that point of view. But nevertheless, the very fact that we can actually say as one of the key elements in the actual text, a direct quote was, Charlotte, North Carolina, you're on with Christoph, means that Jessica Bertis comes to the fore. And Jessica, would you like to share what your thoughts are on this whole movie, which was produced before you were born, but at the same time, it does have the line, as I said, Charlotte, North Carolina, you're on with Christoph.
I'd heard of this movie, but I had actually thought it was like a late night show, which sounds so stupid. But I had never seen it, which is really ridiculous because it has Jim Carrey and, you know, he's so like famous. So I was not very cultured without knowing what this movie was. So I'm glad I actually know now and I can understand references. So I thought it was so creative. I could see it working in the vein of like Black Mirror nowadays, especially with like talking about how entertainment and television and media really can be horrifying and how they can kind of be means of control. I think that it kind of reads as a very good psychological horror, even though I kind of thought it was like a comedy-ish at first, but it's very creepy in a very interesting way, just the idea of you're always being watched. So I think it was really good.
The question of surveillance is something that has also been talked about with reference to this movie in terms of how it's portrayed, how it's relevant to ourselves in the 21st century. I mean, Kathy, was it just a case of, well, every town in Florida is like this? It might as well just be focusing on the whole sea town scenario.
No town in Florida is like this. I can't even, like, Pensacola? No, not even. I've been to Pensacola. It's not this. it's... You know, I watched this movie years ago, like forever ago, and I remembered enjoying it because it's Jim Carrey, just like Jessica was saying, you know, like, and watching it, and I was excited to watch it again because I was like, oh, I haven't seen this in so long. I'm pumped. I remember how much I enjoyed it. And then watching it now, I was like, this is so messed up. Like, just the thought process of it. Also, it made me consider how I feel about the characters today are completely different than how I felt about the characters when I first watched it 10, 15, 20 years ago. and it's one of those movies that was like randomly on, like it was always a rerun. I don't know if you felt the same way about this, Victoria, but you could like somehow catch it for whatever reason. So I remember snippets of it more than anything else, but sitting down to watch all of it is, really eerie. But like what I like about it more than Black Mirror, because they're in my head, they're very separate. I mean, the concept is similar, but I like that it's not so gut-wrenchingly terrifying, if that makes sense. You know, there's some Black Mirror episodes that can really be horrific. And this is, it's creative, it's different, it's interesting, but it is eerie, but just slightly.
Victoria, in terms of the eerie nature of this particular text, and I think it's fair to say, yeah, probably Charlie Brooker will have actually taken some inspiration for some of his views on Black Mirror about technology, the way that technology is being used in this instance at the behest of a TV show in which product placement is the way in which the show operates. And you have that big aspect between how we see the character of Truman, true man, of course, referring to that whole essence of virility, verisimilitude, truthfulness, and so on. And his discovery that obviously starts off with the double whammy. You've got, first of all, the falling of the star from the sky, the lighting gantry that effectively is partially collapsed and so on. And then, of course, we have the return of his father and the incursions into the field. And again, that notion that somebody whose world is very much at his center suddenly realizes that maybe he is the center of the world in one hand, but who is actually controlling it? Any thoughts from your own perspective? I mean, I think we've all, or maybe it's a male thing, we've all had that situation where we felt as though, you know, maybe we are writing our own script.
First of all, is it really older than Jessica? Because that just makes me feel depressingly old.
25 years. Jessica hasn't quite made her first quarter century as yet. 1998 was when this movie emerged.
Okay. Now I feel really old because, yeah. Anywho. No, I have quite a few interesting things to think about when it... by the general public and said, what is this reality? Oh, yeah, what is this reality that he's in? And she says, well, it is his reality. So in all aspects, there is a reality to it, which I find quite interesting. And what in those little interviews, the cast actually have to say about it. It has its eerie moments, but somehow, for the comedy side, I don't see it as too eerie. It's just too comical for that. But when it came out, I didn't think too much of the surveillance. And I think that's grown since the film's come out, especially with internet and more cameras. So will it be that in another 25 years time that the world looks a lot more like the Truman's reality?
Which some might say would be a utopia, others might argue would be a dystopia. We accept the reality of the world with which we're presented, which is the Ed Harris Christoph character when he grants his first interview to, of course, a man best known for his voice activities on The Simpsons. Which is always good from that point of view. Jessica, is this something which, again, still connects with us? Do we still feel that sense? I mean, last week we were looking, obviously, at The Prisoner. We were looking at Freefall. We were looking at much angrier central character, a central character who is being manipulated, arguably in the same way as Truman is being manipulated, although he realised he was being manipulated, and there is that discovery that Truman goes through when he suddenly realizes that actually, yeah, and that very sharp moment when towards the end his boat actually collides with the diorama at the back, and suddenly you realize, yeah, and he realizes that actually he's in the biggest film set of the world. Obviously, we have to note that you couldn't see the Great Wall of China from space. That is actually factually incorrect in terms of the breakdown. And similarly, this whole side of things for Truman Burbank. Interesting, again, Burbank, a very well-known Hollywood-based studio, which also connects with that fantasy world that we've created with. Anyway, your thoughts, Jessica?
Yeah, I think it kind of reflects, like, there's such an interest that I feel like humans have with artificiality. And I feel like that's quite a big theme in this movie, is there's kind of this like contrast of life and growth being so organic and natural, but then you have like it completely surrounded by everything that's fake. And I think that that's something that we kind of deal with a lot now with technology, and how quite a lot of things are just online. You know, like so many, you can have so many interactions and so many like shopping and email and all of this without anything tangible. So it's very interesting that we kind of live in this like digitally artificial space, but it still affects us, of course, and those effects are real. So I think that that kind of is like the biggest thing to me about it, is just like, it reminds me of the Twilight Zone a lot, how there was like an episode where they took a train in and they were actually on a giant like dollhouse like thing for a giant. And it kind of made me think of that, except with this one, you kind of knew like the whole time that it was a show, but it kind of had the same feel.
You do have three different realities coalescing. You have the reality of Truman Burbank, or his particular world, perhaps rather than reality. You've also got the production reality of the extras, the camera operators, the reality of Christoph, and the way in which that's being portrayed to us. And then, of course, we have the audience. The audience who we see, I mean, again, I do feel that the chap who's actually consistently in the bath would probably actually have a very wrinkled skin. But clearly he chose to actually watch it from his bath, presumably not for the full 20-odd years of Truman's life. But clearly we see that. We see, of course, the security guards who actually close the film with the line, OK, that's it. So what's on the next channel? Let's move on. And of course, we have the two elderly ladies who are clearly emoting amongst themselves, and likewise the bar scene where you have the shared experience, plus of course the character of Sylvia, played by Natasha McElhone, who in one shot is actually looking up to the TV screen in terms of willing Truman to effectively and actually sort of says, please God, help him from that point of view, whereas of course to Truman, God arguably would be Christoph. Anyway, Kathy, thoughts please.
Lots of thoughts. I guess it's You know, I don't think we get to see a lot of white men get gaslit as much as Truman gets in this film. And that's the thing. It's a lot of, I mean, like you said before, manipulation, but just like he clearly understands something is wrong. It is very obvious that something is wrong. And everyone is just like, I don't know what you're talking about. That seems totally normal. And I think what I'm very impressed with watching this film is the details that they're so careful about, like the travel agent coming in with the napkin around her neck just because she was in makeup probably before she had to go into the set, you know? And Truman wouldn't think anything of that. He'd be like, oh, maybe she was like eating something and didn't want to get dirty, you know, which is reasonable, like when you're kind of blending these two realities together. Also, you're kind of getting a truth because Truman's life is literally falling apart, like as the set is crumbling upon him. And I mean, whether you want to call it a metaphor to other people who go through stages of what feels like your life falling apart, we are our own, you know, main characters for the most part when it comes to our own life story. So I think they did a really good job trying to at least showing that kind of symbolism because it's something very relatable. But the I think what's even more challenging that I didn't even consider until watching it this time is that you have just like how we have three realities, as you were mentioning, the set, the audience, and you know, Truman's world. You also have to consider like the actors are not just acting a part in Truman's world, they're acting an actor's part. So they're doing multiple things simultaneously, which kind of makes it so amazing to see them taking it that further. So like that scene where she's like, please God help me, you know? It's understandable because you're like, yeah, she feels honestly threatened. And to be fair, I think if any one of us were in that situation, we would also feel very threatened. All of a sudden, someone has done something completely out of characteristic, but you can't blame them because you're kind of going crazy. And by the way, if Coca-Cola would like to sponsor us, by any means, we're happy to throw that out there. Just saying, Coca-Cola, I don't know, what kind of things do you guys want to be sponsored by? I feel like I would really appreciate Shake Shack.
I think any sort of clothing that I can wear on stage, I mean, that is a great promotional point.
Yeah, you know what's
Just like getting
expensive?
that out there, November people, if you want to sponsor me with some clothes, I'm really happy to wear them for you.
Lululemon, that's expensive. What about you, Jessica?
I mean, I think like Wonder Bread is the classic one that you see in all the movies and shows. I think we need Wonder Bread. It's a staple, you know.
Absolutely.
Peter Weir is obviously Academy Award-winning director. He was responsible for, I think, Dead Poets Society, as well as Witness, which again, with Harrison Ford, tells the tale of the Amish community and again, a fish out of water from that point of view. Do you feel as though, I mean, clearly this is written by Andrew Niccol, and Andrew Niccol, of course, it's a pet theme with his views in terms of how humanity can be seen in relationship to not only technology but also ourselves. He'd go on to obviously write and direct Gattaca. Sim One was also his line from that point of view, and one which we considered way back in the early days of Residents Rewind, a little motion picture called In Time. Well, I think Jessica, you were with us at that stage, but again, interesting from that. Does it work as a metaphor, Victoria? Does it work as an allegory for this whole notion of a human being trying to figure out their way in life? Because we never, you know, we have that final closing sequence where effectively, you know, he's asked by Christoph, say something, God damn it! So many people are watching you across the world, and all he can think about is the catchphrase, the classic of the television catchphrase. You know, the words, and if I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. You know, the whole system, and then of course a bow to camera and close 20 odd years or 30 years presumably of Truman's life. How do you feel it works for yourself, Victoria?
I think it's really well structured in the writing, and as I think Kesley said, all the little details that are in it, you feel an element of build up with his with every the way it's all crashing down, and he's slowly coming round to this idea of something being wrong, it where the when he gets more and more concerned and more panicked, I suppose, in this world that he's living in, the whole momentum is growing and growing and growing. So you feel that as well, which is quite strong. And that's the same because everybody on the televisions that are watching him also having that build up of when something big happens, when the dad goes away, or when he gets married, anything like that, we get to experience maybe what the audience were experiencing when they're watching him as their normal TV. But it does actually beg the question of what on earth is the system like that is A, letting this happen, sort of humanitarianists or something. Are they there at all? I know some people have been run onto set and want to say they're on the Truman Show, but really the whole world's watching him and going, yeah, it's fine. We can mess with someone's life for TV. Okay.
and actually, arguably, is this not at the heart of so much of the reality TV explosion, which emerged on the back of the last writer's strike in Hollywood in the first decade? I mean, Kathy, as you said, you were allocated a great deal of time to Love Island. Again, there have been lots of issues, including suicide, relating to that particular program, which may actually argue that this blurring of the edges between reality and people's perceptions is not a healthy place to be.
Well, I mean, you're right to say that, but you know, the difference in that is that people who go on things like Love Island or Big Brother or Real House, any of these reality television shows, they know what they're signing up for. They have to sign papers and papers. Some even have to sign NDAs, like, and they're of an age where they are qualified to sign up for it. I think what this relates more to, especially since the whole concept of the Truman Show is that they adopt an embryo, that's what they adopt essentially, and then they follow the life. And I mean, there's just so many laws and regulations that I can't wrap my mind around. And what I think this compares to, which I've been saying this for years, because I'm waiting for the social experiment. We're getting close. It's coming close to the time. We are in the age of social media, where we put everything on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, right? Especially new parents. Now, some people are really clever and they don't put their children on, or they put an emoji to cover their face. And honestly, if I ever do become a parent, that's my kind of logic. I don't want them to have an internet presence because it's terrifying. But these are children that do not have, they've given no permission. So you have the blogger mom talking about the perfect home life dynamic that they have. And, you know, maybe they are relatively happy people. I'm not here to crush that. But I think you won't actually know how these kids really feel until they're as early as maybe teenagers. I'm sure you could probably find out younger, but I think there's also going to be this new construct of embarrassment. Like when we had embarrassing photos, no one could just find them. You'd have to go to like my home and there'd be a photo album and my mom would be very excited.
They're burnt.
Exactly. Right. The photo album. That's non-existent. A lot of parents I know have put their kids going to the potty for the first time, right? And I think this level of embarrassment is not even going to be embarrassing, because like, why is it embarrassing when everyone in your class has that embarrassing photo because their mom posted it when they were two, you know? Like, so I'm interested to see that kind of social construct happening very soon, because I mean, when did 2007 is Facebook, right? So 10 years later, 2017, they're only 10 years old. And now they're actual teenagers. So let's see them as young adults, who some of them have just barely passed into. And what I'm more concerned about is when your frontal lobe develops, right? 25, we kind of all know this, is when you're actually completely, you know, or supposed to, you know, depends on the studies that you go to. I want to know from 25-year-olds that were born into the social media age, where it was completely normal to put all these pictures out, and see what their response is to being exposed that way.
Which was a point I made earlier with Victoria, of course. Jessica, let's return to yourself. I mean, one featured review of a movie. Although it sometimes seems that Hollywood is catering to the lowest common denominator of everything, The Truman Show is proof that there are great ideas that are able to be turned into great movies. Is that something which you can identify with? And indeed, as we begin to hedge into characters, and there are lots of them to choose from, where are your thoughts on that one?
Oh, I mean, of course, there's plenty of good ideas. I mean, I think it's human nature to create and to think. And for as long as humans exist, there will be good ideas and things that people come up with. And I definitely agree with Kathy about the idea of child social media stars. And I mean, we can see some of the negative effects to a degree, like with like childhood celebrities like Brooke Shields, things like that, like people who grew up acting or modeling, and then we see what the entertainment industry did to them and the adults treated them. So it's definitely scary. And I think that this show has a lot of resonance in real life. But yeah, I think that, I mean, good ideas are often drawn from real life. So I think that it makes sense why this movie is so good, because it's based around quite a lot of real ideas just taken to their extremes. So yeah, I think people are always going to have good ideas like this. So, and I hope to continue to like learn more about these really cool movies that exist.
Okay, well, we'll come back to you with respect to characters in a few moments, but Victoria, music by Burkhard Dalwitz and, of course, Philip Glass, creating some wonderful, I think, ethereal, dreamlike, and fairly action-packed sequences as well. Did you feel the music actually worked?
Yeah, it works. It's got the drama in the right places. It does give you, as you say, the ethereal notes of the music do make it into this utopia feeling. So I think it really does work.
A utopia, which obviously for Truman eventually becomes a dystopia, and he can't wait to actually leave as he ascends the staircase. Again, you could argue a kind of classic notion of ascending upwards, the stairway to heaven, to actually find the exit route from that point of view. Who knows, maybe that's the end run for most of us. Okay, Jessica, favorite characters, please.
I mean, Truman's great, but I also think his wife is hilarious. I mean, completely immoral, but like absolutely so funny. in this horrible thing she was doing, the whole ad was so funny. The car, when she just like looked back and just stared at the camera, I thought it was great. There's like, she was so entertaining. But yeah, I think her actress did really, really well.
So Laura Linney, of course, who's had a whole wealth of time, not least of which is obviously in, I think, Jurassic Park. She's been in that franchise, but playing the role of Truman's wife, Merrill Burbank. But obviously her actor, acting name was Hannah Gill, in terms of that, where again we see, and again, that the classic moment where there's a very stressful scene, and she says, "It's so unprofessional. I can't work under these conditions." How often have we felt we wanted to actually utter those particular aspects within that? Kathy, what about yourself, character-wise?
Well, as you know, I also can't work under these conditions. No, that's hard. I mean, yeah, she's really high up there for me. She was a character that I thought I disliked so much because I was like, it's so painfully obvious you're not into this. Dude, that you're forced to work in, but then you realize, ah, that's the concept, right? And I guess for her to kind of evoke that emotion out of me, she's doing a really good job.
And the very sinister aspect, of course, that there's actually talk about conceiving Truman's child.
Right? How scary. Like, anyway, I think of so many, because I think, why not let him choose his wife? Especially if everyone, I mean, I also, adult brain, went into work here being like, wow, a lot of people are out of a job when Truman walks out of this. Like, they created a small country, essentially. You know how many people have to operate a small country? So,
as occurs when every major blockbuster movie comes to an end, actually.
I think this is more, because you're talking about someone's lifetime. I think people have lived and died as Truman has lived. So, it's, yeah, the numbers are high up there. But I also want to give a shout out to Pluto, the dog. And that's another eerie thing about this thing. They purposely traumatized him to force him to stay in his world. Like, they purposely made him fearful of water and dogs to control him. Like, horrific. Anyway, I did appreciate the waitresses a lot. Like, because they, I think I related a lot with them. Like, if I was invested in a show and I'm like, no, I gotta see how this ends. So I do really enjoy them as a small character because I think they give an important character to it. But I guess one of my favorite characters, I want to give it to, it's not that I don't want to give it to Truman, but I just feel like it's very Jim Carrey. Am I wrong to say that? I don't know if you guys felt the same way. I loved it. I think, why not? He's personally putting his goofy self into this. And obviously we know that this isn't Jim Carrey, but I think the other actors put in a lot more work. And I think the people who I was most surprised was the director, because he was willing to kill Truman just for it to be sold, right? For it to be the best story it could possibly be. And to be honest, Truman kind of had to suffer for him to make it to the end, because it would show that he really wanted to get out. So I think I'll give it to him.
So Ed Harris, of course, lots of credits to his name as Christoph, wins it for your own point of view. Of course, there is the irony that Truman, in the character, of course, is working as a life insurance salesman, and you could argue that it just in the same way as one of the insurance techniques is to manipulate people into actually panicking and maintaining that they need this in case things happen and so on. So we're also being manipulated, and there's an argument, of course, that in many ways the Great Reset, the global Agenda 21 is designed on this manipulation of our feelings and our fears and concerns from that point of view. Okay, Jessica, your favorite character then, please.
I think it's the wife, definitely.
So a wife for yourself. And Victoria, any thoughts for yourself? Are you sticking with the wife?
Oh no, I'm afraid. I would like to have seen like a film of the After Truman Show. What happened to him? What were the actors' lives like when they were out of the Truman Show? Because I mean, there were people that didn't have lives. They couldn't have partners or children outside of the show. So I'd like to
I
know what
suspect
that
they
was like, if
could
they could do
if they
that.
were part of the show, but presumably when they
Yeah,
leave the
but I have a
show.
feeling his wife, he would be slightly suspicious when his wife got pregnant and the baby was sort of not around, or his mum had another baby and suddenly he doesn't have a sibling.
Yeah, again, intriguing how Christoph managed to weave those things in, as of course we saw with the relationship with the father. And how he was brought back into to play with respect to that.
And I doubt his life as a insurance salesman is quite the same if he wanted to do that job when he leaves. So there might be a problem there.
Who would
But
hire?
I, yeah, he'd just be another social media star. Then I actually quite like the character of the dad, because he had the guts to leave, but he also had the guts to come back. And obviously he'd been watching the show and seen this kid that he brought up as his own and needed to go back. So that's an important character for me. And also I do not remember her name, but the woman he did initially fall in love with but was taken out of the show,
Sylvia.
and she's the one, there we go, and she's sitting there begging for him. It's those characters that have tried to improve his life and seen the humanity of it. I like those characters.
And Kathy Olan Jones was the bar waitress that manages to actually again capture the whole essence of how things are working. Okay, well, that's brought us neatly round, of course. To a score for this one. So, Victoria, let's come to you first. What's your score for this Peter Weir directed, Andrew Niccol produced, and Jim Carrey featured? I will actually say there were a few moments where Carrey lapsed for me into Carreyness of Dumb and Dumber, The Mask equivalent, but he managed to hold it together. And I think he does that in two movies, particularly this one and another one we haven't considered as yet, Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind. But that's another issue. That
Please don't make us watch that.
in time, all things will work out. Anyway, Victoria, your
I'm
score.
going to give it a 9. because I always enjoy watching it, no matter what age I am or no matter the way I'm thinking at the time. There's always a different side to it, and you just never get bored of it.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I did see it originally in the cinema, and I thought it was a thoughtful aspect there. I think it has improved actually over the years, and in particular that take, as Kathy has alluded to, as we discussed earlier, about, well, how does this also relate in a world where television is not the dominant medium it used to be? Certainly it was at the 20th century, where you could actually look at developing this kind of thing, but social media technology can impact on that, and of course the essence of what it is to be human. Kathy, your score, please.
I think I'm going to give it an 8.5, and the only reason I'm taking a little bit away is just because although there are very little holes personally in it, I do think they execute it very well. My only thing is when things really started to fall apart, I really think they were more avoidable. I think these are mistakes, and they try to make up for it to talk about different occurrences in his lifetime where they almost got caught. But some of the mistakes that were happening were just kind of like too, like, I'm sorry, if you have that kind of like money and production and manpower to create this, these mistakes are, I mean, Disney doesn't allow this to happen. Let me tell you that. I know that.
Really?
For sure. Yeah. You think the Magic World of Disney Orlando is going to let your magic destroyed? No, they're very good at covering things up. And if Disney can be doing it for longer than Truman's ever been alive, then I think it's possible for this production to do so.
They're very strict for the workers, I can tell you that.
Very strict.
Okay. We had thought we might have been joined by Phil Leardis, he's otherwise engaged. Jared Palmer also now back in the UK after his time in America. He apparently said that the movie was in his film analysis class 2 months ago in the United States. So it's obviously still working on that premise as well. But Jessica, what's your particular score for The Truman Show?
I think I am going to give it a 9. I really liked it, and I definitely want to like watch some things analyzing it, because I feel like there's quite a lot of Easter eggs that are probably in this or something small that I haven't noticed.
Had your parents seen it, or was it new to them as well?
I'm sure they've seen it. My brother had known about it and was like telling me stuff that I hadn't really thought about too much about it or noticed. So I'm the one that just was unaware.
That's because, as Kathy's pointed out, you're still developing. You're the child. So it's all coming together. That's the important thing. Anyway.
It's just the brain thing, Jessica. It's not a personal attack.
Our brains are old.
Also, I'll say this. You know, we change every 7 years because that's how long it takes our body and ourselves. So we're all changing. Just saying.
Or is that also taken from the mythology of the Great Wall of China being visible from space? Never mind. Next week, we're back into fun science fiction with a capital F, U, and N. We have Danger, Danger, Will Robinson. Not just one robot, but two robots with Zachary Smith and, of course, Bill Mumy and the Robinson family in the episode of Lost in Space entitled War of the Robots. That's upcoming on Resonance Rewind. But for now, to Victoria Simmons, to Jessica Burtis, and to Kathy Manser, huge thanks. And before we head into more of the music, the soundtrack of The Truman Show, keep on resonating.
In case I don't see you. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Like a bee, babe, I want to be yours.